We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Well, we jump into hour number two on a Friday. Thanks so much for joining us. Hope you enjoy the show each and every day. Adam Klug doing a magnificent job sitting in for my man, Braden Soprenard, who continues to be up in San Clemente. Adam, I got to bring you on here. I don't know if Braden sent it to you last night. He sent me a little video last night. He was eating at a restaurant with his family up there. And he goes, take a look at who's sitting behind me. And he pans, I think maybe his mom or dad was using his camera or his camera phone. And he panned, Andy Reid was eating in this outdoor restaurant with some guy. And, boy, it was like killing me. Andy Reid, the great coach of the Kansas City Chiefs, was up there in San Clemente eating dinner last night. And Braden with a big old smile on his face. I gotta get a hold of him today and find out if he actually went up there and talked to Andy Reid at all. But that was pretty cool last night, Adam.
Yeah, he sent me the video as well. And then he also texted me afterwards saying that he actually saw Mark Cuban as well walking around in Laguna Beach. So I guess there's some things going on in Southern California today.
Oh, that's great stuff. Great stuff. Hey, by the way, I want to remind everyone, how would you like to have your voice heard during our Padres opening day broadcast here on 97.3 The Fan? Think about it. It's 2 weeks from today. Leave us a voicemail telling us you're most excited, who you're most excited to watch this season, and we may air it during the Padres' first game of the year on July 24th. Visit 97.3thefansd.com/openingday for all details. And I'm very happy to say that it looks like Tommy Pham going to be back with the ball club here shortly. Jace Tingler met with the media today. And as I mentioned before at the top of the hour, if you're just tuning in, Tommy Pham has been cleared by the local authorities and state officials, but not yet by Major League Baseball. And I'm sure they just have to send the test and it'll be a slam dunk. But Tommy Pham last night was under some criticism. And I don't know if it's fair or not. I mean, here's a guy that wants to get back on the field. He was asymptomatic to begin with. He showed up at Gallagher Square, and you're saying, what's Gallagher Square? Well, it's Petco Park, the park in the park. They changed the name, but really didn't, you know, send out a big press release that I saw, but it's Gallagher Square now. Okay, somebody probably paid a pretty good price for that, and I thank him for that. And it's a great place for young families to go and enjoy a ball game or watch it on the big screen out there. Roll around on the grassy knoll. Take a look at the Tony Gwynn statue, all that good stuff. But Tommy Pham last night shows up in Gallagher Square, got his mask on. He'd already passed one test. A lot of people were upset. But now today, Tommy Pham is cleared by the local and state officials. So is it really that big a deal? I know people last night were going, man, it was like the guy got let out of San Quentin or something. But you know what? I don't have a problem. He passed one test. He probably figured, I'm going to pass another. I'm going to get back with the ball club. And I saw Tommy's comments. He says, you know, I got to get back out there. I got to get back out there. We got to get ready to go. And Tommy Pham is a grinder. And Tommy Pham is a guy that is sometimes not going to come across all that well with his teammates. And we heard this when he was traded from Tampa Bay to here. This guy's a gamer. This guy holds himself accountable, and he holds his teammates accountable. If you're not putting in the effort, he's going to walk over and probably not social distance from you. He's probably going to get in your face a little bit and tell you you got to pick it up. And that's okay, because it can't be the manager all the time, people. It can't be the manager all the time. On all the good Padre ball clubs that I've seen here in San Diego, they've always had a hammer. Ken Caminiti was a good hammer when he was here. Phil Nevin, sometimes maybe a little bit too much, could be a hammer. And, you know, I got to be honest, when Phil got traded from the Padres to Texas Rangers, there was a certain group of guys in the clubhouse that they could exhale because Phil had them uptight a lot of the time. But I'm a big Phil Nevin fan, and I hope he gets an opportunity to manage in the big leagues. But you got to have a hammer. And, you know, Trevor Hoffman would be a hammer in a nicer way. It's hard, I think, for being a pitcher to be the big leader of the ball club. You need that everyday grinder. And we've had some good grinders here. And I mentioned Caminiti. Caminiti, he didn't even have to say anything. Caminiti just look at you and you know what he was thinking. I mean, Caminiti was a scary dude. I mean, he was a scary dude. He actually was a very nice man. But he was a scary-looking dude, and he came to play each and every night. And if you weren't teeing it up, he was going to let you know about it. But Tommy Pham is a lot like that. And this is what's been missing from the Padres for a long period of time. You know, I've talked about over the last few years, before A.J. Preller was hired here in San Diego, Peter Seidler asked me if I would have a little bite to eat with him one night. And I was going to do the Padre pregame show later that night. We met at this restaurant up in Mira Mesa. It was a nice restaurant. We went in. We had a nice meal. And he started asking me, he goes, hey, what do you think of our organization right now? And I go, well, you guys, the one thing you guys don't have right now is a lot of accountability. And he goes, well, what do you mean by that? And I go, well, you know, if guys aren't getting the job done, you got to let them know they're not getting it done. And I go, down in the minor leagues, a lot of your coaches and managers aren't getting the job done. He goes, well, what do you mean? I go, well, I got scouts, my buddies that scout all these different ball clubs. They tell me some of your teams in the minor, they don't take infield. They don't come out and work. The heat gets to them. And the other ball clubs on the other organizations, they're out there working, you know, 2-3 hours before game time. And you guys come out and take a little light infield, play the game and go home and come out the next day. You know, you got to work these guys when you're in the minor leagues. And your coaches and managers, everybody has to be held accountable. You got to get the job done. And I got to be honest with you. That was the number one thing that I brought up to Peter Seidler. And when I look at the Padres now, this has become a very accountable organization. And the reason I say that is if you're not getting the job done, they don't waste a lot of time with you. And I give A.J. Preller a lot of credit for that. I mean, A.J. has made a lot of roster moves. He spent a lot of money. A lot of that money hasn't worked out all that well here in San Diego, to be honest with you. And I think we're very fortunate to have the owners that we have in Mr. Seidler and Mr. Fowler. They've been, for the most part, very, very patient. I mean, they've owned this ball club now for a few years, and they've yet to even be close to a 500 ball club. And this year is going to be really, really important that this ball club not only be quite, right around the 500 mark, but I think people inside the organization, namely the Mr. Fowler, thinks this ball club should be better than 500. I'm not sure the front office, though, is convinced that this team is ready to take that next step and really be a wild card team. I think they still realize they've got some youthfulness in some areas, namely, you know, guys like Gore and Patino that can be difference makers going along the road once they get their feet wet at the big league level. But I think when you take a look at this division right now, and, you know, I go back to Bob Nightingale a week ago. Bob really opened my eyes to something a week ago when he came on the program. And, you know, we're all kind of poo-pooing the San Francisco Giants. He goes, you know, the Giants are a team you got to be concerned with. And I'm saying, why the hell is that? I mean, who do they have? They got a bunch of aging veterans, and their pitching staff is so-so. They got a new manager who can rankle the feathers of his players a little bit. We saw that with Gabe Kapler in Philadelphia. He goes, well, the reason why is with guys like, well, Buster Posey was there at the time, but if you missed it, he opted out today because he and his wife just adopted identical twin girls, and they were premature babies, and they're going to be, in the hospital for a while. So he opted out for this year. But he mentioned Buster Posey, Brandon Crawford, Brandon Belt, Jeff Samardzija, Hunter Pence. These guys are all good, solid major league players, but they're older, and they're now not going to have to grind for 162 games. They can come out and play 60 games. And now all of a sudden, maybe they become a little bit more of a factor. Losing Posey's going to hurt because he's been a good leader. And even though he's coming off a down year, he can still be dangerous in the late innings and come up with a big hit for you. And I'm not going to rule out anybody at this point in time. You look at Colorado. Colorado, they're a dangerous team offensively, not so dangerous on the mound. They had major meltdowns last year with their pitching staff. But Buddy Black will have that ball club ready to go. They're going to put runs on the board. You're going to have to match them in that area, and hopefully your pitching on that given day is better than theirs, and you're going to win a fair amount of games against Colorado. The Arizona Diamondbacks are a good ball club. And as much as I dislike that organization for a variety of reasons, I hate their uniforms. I'm still mad at Bob Brenly for getting on Ben Davis years ago. Yeah, I do hold a grudge from time to time. And I'll never get over that. I will never, ever get over the way he treated that young that night when he broke up Curt Schilling's perfect game with a bunt. It wasn't even a good bunt. It wasn't even a good bunt. The Padres were down 2-0. Ben wanted to bring the tying run to the plate, and he got the job done. He got on base. Padres ended up losing the ball game, but nonetheless, the kid did what he was supposed to do. Do whatever you can to get on base. And, you know, it'd been different if it was an 8-0 game, and the corner guys were playing back, and you'd lay down a bunt. That would have been Bush League. But in that situation, I was at the game, and I know the situation of the game, and it was not a Bush League move by Ben Davis that night. But, you know, that's history. But a lot of people remember that. But I never liked the Diamondbacks since then. I hate their uniforms. They bought a World Series, you know, when they brought in Randy Johnson, Curt Schilling, so on and so forth. But they're a good baseball team. They're a really, really good baseball team. Torrey Lavelle's done a great job with that ball club. And if they can get Starling Marte in camp, you know, he lost his wife here a few weeks ago, and he hadn't been in camp. I don't know if he's arrived yet or not. You got Ketel Marte, who was absolutely fantastic last year, received several votes for the most valuable player in the National League. But, you know, getting back to the Padres and the accountability, they're holding people accountable. You got to get the job done. You're not getting the job done, they're going to move you out of here. And that's what you have to do. The one thing you can't do, you can't fall in love with ballplayers. And, you know, as a kid reading about the great Branch Rickey, the general manager of the Dodgers, and, you know, he spent time with the St. Louis Cardinals, and he built farm systems, and you can't fall in love with ballplayers. You fall in love with ballplayers, you're leading yourself down a road to where you're going to have a losing organization. And I think the Padres have done a good job of that. If a guy's not producing, they find a way to move him out of here. And if guys aren't willing to make adjustments, they're going to find a way to move him out of here. If a guy continually gets hurt and can't perform for you, they find a way to move him out of the organization. And I have no problem with that. But, you know, getting back to Tommy Pham, and this is where this all started. Tommy Pham's a gamer. Tommy Pham may never come on any of our radio programs here in San Diego. You know what? I don't care. I don't care. I want Tommy Pham to produce on the field. If he wants to come on my program or Ben and Woods or Gwen and Chris, that's great. Would love to have him because I think he'll be a great guest. I know a guy that actually hit with Tommy Pham this winter, said he's a really good guy. But when he puts on his batting gloves and gets the bat in his hand or he's out working out, the guy, it's all about business. Tommy Pham was not given anything in this game. He has had to work really, really hard to get to the big league level. He was an older guy when he got to the big leagues with the St. Louis Cardinals. But he appreciates what he has. He wants to keep what he has, and he wants to win baseball games. And when you've got a guy like that, especially, and it'll be a little bit different this year because you've got a 60-game schedule, but those are the type of guys you like for 162 games. Why? Because if you have a good nucleus on your ball club of guys like that, you're going to out-hustle, out-work, and out-play teams later in the year in August and September when they're mad, they know their manager is going to get fired, their team sucks. And you're going to win a high percentage of ball games in August and September. Now, this year it's a little bit different with 60 games. But I'm glad that Tommy Pham has passed the two tests. Now we got Major League Baseball. They got to go ahead and approve him, get him back on the field. And next thing you know, he'll be ready to roll on opening day. And a lot of people are kind of wondering, where is Tommy Pham going to play? Is he going to play a left field or is he going to be the DH? Remember, he's got that elbow that gave him a problem. And they kind of weaned him along. They kind of weaned him along during spring training. But now that they've approved the designated hitter, you know, they may not want to play him out there in left field 5 days a week or 6 days a week. Maybe play him 2 or 3 days a week in the outfield and let him DH the rest of the time. Going to be very interesting. I think it'll be interesting also to see how Jace Tingler puts together his batting order. Because we were talking the other day on our roundtable. And by the way, our roundtable, again, will be this coming Wednesday, and we're going to be talking about the Padre bullpen. That'll be on Wednesday at 12 o'clock, courtesy of Bud Light Seltzer. We'll have Gwen and Chris and Ben and Woods, and we'll do it for a full hour on Wednesday. We're going to talk about the dynamite Padre bullpen. But, you know, you take a look at this Padre outfield now, boy, there are going to have to be some decisions made on exactly what they're going to do. How many guys are they going to keep on the opening day roster that are outfielders? You got 53. three players, I think, on the 60-man roster right now. And see if the Padres add to that. But, you know, Trent Grisham probably slated to be the center fielder. Will Myers has been working in right field, been taking a few ground balls over there at first base. And out in the outfield, you got Pham in left, and you got Josh Naylor. Naylor also been taking ground balls at first base. And then what do you do with Franchy Cordero? Franchy Cordero is the one guy. Everybody, oh, man, Franchy Cordero, he could really do this and that. I haven't seen enough of Franchy Cordero. Defensively, I don't think he's a center fielder for me from what I've seen. The guy can hit a little bit. We know that. He's got a Robinson Cano-type swing. But can he make this roster? And even if he makes the roster, can he be an impact guy? Can he stay healthy? And then what do you do about Taylor Trammell? Taylor Trammell may get an opportunity this year at the big league level. I thought he'd probably get called up, you know, maybe in September, maybe earlier if there was an injury. But Taylor Trammell, he may make this top 30, depending on how many pitchers the Padres end up keeping. But Tommy Pham, good guy, very happy to have him part of the ball club. And, you know, you give up a guy like Hunter Renfro. Renfro, you know, 33 homers, led the ball club last year. And there are a lot of things to like about Hunter Renfro. But I'm going to tell you right now, Tommy Pham's not going to hit the home runs by like Hunter Renfro. But I will tell you this, Tommy Pham's a much better all-around baseball player. With that said, we'll get to a timeout. When we come back, we'll get to your phone calls, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. We're also going to hear what Buster Olney had to say about Major League Baseball, and it wasn't all that good. Stay with me. The Coach John Quintero Show going until 3 o'clock right here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. 120, Coach John Quintero headed to 3 o'clock in Gwynn and Chris today. Thanks so much for joining the program. A reminder coming up at 1:35, Ryan McDonough from Radio.com, NBA Insider, going to join us. We'll talk NBA, former general manager of the Phoenix Suns, also the brother of Sean McDonough and the son of the late great writer Will McDonough. I think a lot of you folks remember him. Will McDonough did a lot of broadcasting with the National Football League. So very much looking forward to Ryan McDonough coming up at 1:35. And then at 2:35, our final guest of the day and final guest of a great week of guests, Jessamyn McIntyre, producer and reporter at 710 ESPN Seattle. We're going to finish off our week of AL West preview. We're going to take a look at the Seattle Mariners. Before I get to Jace Tingler and what he had to say regarding Tommy Pham being at Petco Park last night out there at Gallagher Square, I want to go back to our studio right now. My man Adam Klug getting us ready for Bench the Coach coming up at 1:50. And Adam, what direction are we headed today?
Coach, we're going to talk some NBA. The players are arriving at the bubble. They got back on the practice court for the very first time in, what, nearly 4 months. So we're going to see how much people remembered about the NBA season from when it got suspended.
All right, and again today we're going to be playing for one of our very limited edition 97.3 The Fan T-shirts, and let me tell you, they are good looking. And again, if you'd like to be a part of it, give us a call right now. You can get into the rotation at 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. This segment we're going to hear also from Buster Olney talking about his thoughts on whether or not Major League Baseball is going to get rolling and how far will it get rolling if it does. But right now, Jace Tingler, just in the last half hour or so, met with the media, and he talked a little bit about the situation with Tommy Pham. And the first thing that everybody wanted to ask him, did you have any type of problem with Tommy Pham being in Gallagher Square last night?
No, we didn't have an issue. And, you know, the reason why is, you know, we had a little bit, maybe more information than maybe the public. And we certainly want to, you know, protect our players and their privacy and all those things. At the same time, certainly aware of, you know, what the imagery on that could look like. And so definitely understand the concerns. But, you know, he was cleared by local doctors, local officials. His quarantine was up. And, you know, as long as he was, you know, with a mask and social distancing. So definitely sensitive to the fact of, you know, what that, you know, may look like to, you know, the public. But knowing the facts, understanding the sensitivity and respecting Tommy's rights as well. You know, I think as an organization, we're comfortable. And then, you know, we're excited to have him back today. And so we look forward to seeing him today, and glad he's cleared and feeling well, and excited to see him on the field today.
I got to sit here and just kind of chuckle a little bit. I mean, you could tell in Jace Tingler's voice that he was just going very slowly in what he had to say about Tommy Pham being out there at Gallagher Square last night. But again, you're a rookie manager. You're dealing with the media, and you're dealing with the media during what has been a national tragedy, this pandemic. And Jace Tingler, let me tell you, in about 13 nights, he's going to have a hard time sleeping because the Padres open up on July 24th. The night of the 23rd, I have a think he's going to have a very difficult time sleeping. He's going to be seeing lineups. He's going to see pitching changes. He's going to think about who's going to DH tomorrow night, all that good stuff. He got a lot on his plate right now. But good to see Tommy Pham has passed two tests. Again, MLB now has to go ahead and give him the opportunity to come back because he has been cleared by state and local officials. And by what Jace had to say there, it sounds like Tommy Pham will probably get cleared before they work out today. So that's good news. Now, the Busters made a lot of news today. Buster Posey made news because he opted out of the 2020 season because he and his wife just adopted two identical twin daughters, and they're still in the hospital right now. They were born prematurely, and so he's opting out. But the other Buster, a guy that's been good to my program, been good to this radio station from ESPN, Buster Olney, he has serious doubts about this Major League Baseball season getting started, let alone finishing.
Yeah, and the way that I spend my days is to call around to different teams and say, how's it going for you guys? And at this point, I would put it at, to start the season, which would start 2 weeks from today, I'd put it at around 30 to 40%, and to get through the season, I still think 0%. It's interesting because clearly there are teams that have had real issues and canceled workouts, the Nationals, the Giants, the Athletics. Most of the teams I talk to are saying, you know what, it's going pretty well. Like the testing results are coming back. We're getting our work in. Things are going okay. The ones that get the most attention, of course, are the teams that are having the issues.
Well, that's what Buster Olney had to say. And you know what? Buster may be right on this. We'll have to wait and see. But I'll tell you, Justin Verlander, when he was asked if he believed MLB could make it through a 60-game season, especially given the issues so far, Verlander had to say this: no, not yet. I think every day we get closer to the season is another day we've made it without a big outbreak in a clubhouse or something really bad happening. I think the longer this process goes without being shut down, the better chances of us playing the season. Just one day at a time right now, one day at a time. Reminder, we got Ryan McDonough coming up after the bottom of the hour, radio.com, NBA Insider. We'll talk about the restart of the NBA. We also got Bench the Coach coming up. If you'd like to be a participant, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Let's get out to the phones. Mark in San Marcos, welcome to 97.3 The Fan. How you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing good, John. Always a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you.
Well, thanks for the phone call today. What's on your mind?
Well, I was just listening to what you're talking about, the impact of high school sports and football. I mean, I agree with everything you say. I was a big advocate as a child myself, help with school, grades, commitment, and I'm just concerned about that getting lost if it's pushed back. But the secondary piece I have is I shared with you before when I met you in person, my daughter is the high school drum major for the marching band.
Uh-huh.
And she leads 200 kids, and their best kickoff is when the football games start, and they're playing at that halftime. And it's such a great tradition and a way to start the season for a marching band, in addition to football, that's always ranked in the top 10 in California. And I'm just concerned that this is her last year. She's a senior, and there's just a lot of impact when we don't have fall football. But I do think it's inevitable. I'm just concerned that kids are going to miss out on a lot, like you mentioned.
You know, I feel bad for all the kids that just graduated and they miss their senior year. You know, I try to put myself in their shoes. You know, I had a really good senior baseball season. I was an all-CIF player here, and, you know, I would have never had the opportunity to win that, award if I didn't play. And, you know, I feel really, really bad for all those kids, and hopefully they're going to be able to overcome that, move on to the next level. If you're a junior, you get your junior year wiped out, but bingo, now at least of all, you're going to hopefully get your senior year. Hey, Mark, let me ask you this, and that was one of the questions I asked at the top of the show. You know, I wanted people to call me from all over the county and people maybe listening on our radio.com app. What is your daughter's school saying right now regarding the kids going to be on campus, or is it going to be virtual learning, and when do they start?
Yeah, unfortunately, they're trying to stay on the same school schedule in mid to late August, leaning towards right now. There's no answer if they can come on campus, and they're giving the indication that it's going to be virtual, which is, you know, I get it. That's almost 3,000 students on the campus, but that's definitely where it's leaning towards, and that seems to be unfortunate, but to their knowledge, the safest way.
Well, you know, that's the number one. You got to do what's best for the students, the student athletes, the coaches, the administrators. I mean, you also got issues with a lot of older teachers, too. You got to, you know, we've seen that in the different sports already, baseball, basketball. We're seeing some of the assistant coaches in the NBA that won't participate down there in the so-called bubble in Orlando. But, Mark, I appreciate the phone call. And if you get more information going forward, please pick up that phone and give me a call.
Yeah, I look forward to doing that, John. And one last thing, when you mentioned the whole thing about, you know, the Diamondbacks, well, I'm with you, but most people forget that our player was interviewed after that game, and he said, by the way, I checked with Tony Gwynn first, and he said it was okay. So there's no better reference than that when you're going to lay down the bunch.
Very good. Very well put, Mark. Hey, thanks for the call. And, again, give me a call if something were to change.
Will do. Thanks, John.
All right, good phone call. And, again, I urge you to give me a call, whether you're in the South Bay, the East County, North County, downtown San Diego. Love to hear from you today. If you're a parent, a teacher, a coach, administrator, love to hear from you. What is your school district going to do? Are you going to do virtual learning, or are you going to get the kids back on campus? And I know a lot of people right now are kind of, you know, trying to figure out exactly what direction they're going to go. Well, I can tell you, in our next segment, the direction we're going to go, we're going to talk NBA hoops. Really good guy, former general manager of the Phoenix Suns, Ryan McDonough, Radio.com NBA Insider. He'll join me next on the John Contreras Show. Thanks for tuning in on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
1:36 the time on a Friday. Coach John Katera with you to 3 o'clock. And a reminder, we got Bench the Coach coming up here shortly. And if you'd like to be our contestant today and Bench the Coach, give us a call right now. Get online at 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Playing once again for our limited edition 97.3 The Fan T-shirt. But right now we're going to switch gears. And on the line is Radio.com NBA Insider Ryan McDonough. Insider calls are brought to you by Dell Technologies Small Business Podference podcast series, available on radio.com/Dell. Very happy to have this gentleman joining us on our SDCCU fan hotline, former general manager of the Phoenix Suns. Ryan, welcome to 97.3 The Fan. How are you today?
John, I'm doing well. I appreciate you having me on. Everything is good here in Arizona, other than the 115-degree temperature outside.
Yeah, it's, Arizona, you guys have gone a little backwards with this pandemic the last few weeks, huh?
It hasn't been great. It hasn't been great, and that's one of the reasons, I think, in addition to the heat, that a lot of Valley residents are headed your way. As you know, they get in the car and drive west this time of year, and it empties out here in the Valley.
Hey, Ryan, you've been a general manager that I mentioned with the Phoenix Suns, and you're sitting back now looking at what's going on with Adam Silver trying to put this whole thing together down in Orlando. What are your initial thoughts on this?
My initial thoughts, John, are that the league is doing everything it can to make it as safe as possible for everybody involved, starting with the players and obviously extending to the coaches and the officials and the league officials who are in the bubble in Orlando. And look, we're in this environment, John, with this disease as transmissible as it is, there's no perfect solution. But I think the league was really smart as far as putting checkpoints in place. The first was a few weeks ago when players arrived back in their NBA markets and had to pass a bunch of tests, had to test negative a bunch of times for the coronavirus in order to work out with their teams. And now there's another round of tests that's currently going on in Orlando as the teams arrive this week. So, look, there's no perfect scenario, but I think the league was smart to push back the start of the season and take every precaution it could to keep everybody in the bubble as safe as possible.
Now, we're visiting with Ryan McDonough, Radio.com NBA Insider on 97.3 The Fan. Any one team you think have an advantage coming off this long layoff?
John, I think the grouping of teams that has the biggest advantage are the teams that I would call the second-tier contenders. And I mean that with no disrespect to those teams, but if as I look at the league and the 22 teams that are in Orlando, I think three teams stood out to me during the regular season and are the clear favorites. The two down in Southern California, the Lakers and Clippers, and then in conference the Milwaukee Bucks. I think those three teams are separate from the rest of the league in terms of their talent and depth. And my prediction would be that Milwaukee would play one of the two LA teams. I personally think it's going to be the Clippers in the NBA Finals. I bring that up, John, because I think this scenario gives an advantage to the teams just a notch below that. In the Eastern Conference, I look at the Toronto Raptors and Boston Celtics. And in the Western Conference, teams like the Denver Nuggets, Oklahoma City Thunder, maybe even the Houston Rockets, just because, John, they don't have to go on the road anymore for Game 7. I think it was pretty clear, especially in terms of the record, that the Lakers and Bucks were the two best teams during the regular season. The Clippers were up there as well. But I think the playing field has leveled a little bit, John, so I don't think you'll see any huge upsets with, you know, the 8th seed in the West beating the Lakers in the first round, for example. But I do think it gives the second-tier contenders more of an opportunity to upset the higher seeds, given that all the games will be played on a neutral floor in Orlando.
Ryan, not only were you an NBA executive, a general manager, I mean, you did a lot of scouting, both here in the States and internationally. You've seen them all. And when you take a look at the Lakers right now, Avery Bradley opts out. They bring in J.R. Smith. How much did they lose by losing Bradley, and what do they gain by bringing in J.R. Smith?
Yeah, I think that was a pretty significant loss for the Lakers, John. As you know, they're talented and deep, especially in the front court, though. As I look at the Lakers roster, you know, obviously with LeBron James and Anthony Davis, you probably have the best duo in the league. And then at the center position with the reemergence of Dwight Howard and the play of JaVale McGee this year, they have talent and depth there as well. But in the backcourt, they're pretty thin and pretty light. So I think Bradley's absence will hurt the Lakers, John. I think they lose their best perimeter defender. Bradley's also a guy who can make open spot-up shots. He shoots about 37% from three-point range. So, look, J.R. Smith's a wild card. He hasn't played an NBA game in almost two calendar years. We know what he did playing with LeBron James in Cleveland. He has had some big playoff games and has shown the ability to make big shots in the playoffs, John. But, again, that was almost 2 years ago was the last time we saw him in an NBA uniform. And, you know, how will he age in his mid-30s? As we know, his off-court habits aren't the best, or the reputation is that they're not the best. So I'll be interested to see how he looks. But I think, you know, net-net, it's a pretty significant loss for the Lakers going from Bradley to J.R. Smith.
Yeah, I have a feeling LeBron may, you know, put him in a headlock and keep him close to the vest by bringing him in. I'm sure LeBron probably had to sign off on that, don't you think?
I think so. Yeah, I think he did. My guess would be that he vouched for JR because, you know, really the most important thing for LeBron, John, is to be surrounded by shooters. And we know JR can do that or has done that in his NBA career. He didn't shoot the ball that well in his last season with the Cavaliers, which, again, was the beginning of the 2018-19 season. But he has made big shots throughout his career. He has great range. And as you know, LeBron is probably the best playmaker in the league with all the defensive attention he attracts and with his ability to deliver the ball to shooters spotted up around the perimeter. So I think he probably wanted J.R. Smith. And look, it wasn't a great field that the Lakers are selecting from at this point, John. You know, we're before the season got shut down, we're 75% to 80% of the way through, depending on which team and you're looking at and how many games they played. So the player pool was pretty picked over as far as the free agents. So I think the Lakers went with an experienced guy who, at least in the past, has been able to make shots in big games.
And we're visiting with Ryan McDonough, Radio.com, NBA insider, former general manager of the Phoenix Suns. A guy that I was never a big fan of. I just thought, you know, he played on the edge a little bit. But I'll tell you, over the last couple of years when he's played and he's been able to be healthy, I've really gained a new appreciation for him. And that's Joakim Noah, who the Clippers signed. That was a nice kind of under-the-radar sign. I don't know how much he has left, Ryan. But if he can play, you know, even 10, 12 minutes a game, he's not a guy that's he's not afraid to do the dirty work.
Yeah, I agree with that. I thought he played pretty well in the Memphis Grizzlies uniform last time we saw him in the NBA. I was a little surprised that he was still available, you know, at this late date. I think the challenge with the Clippers have, John, and the main reason they went after Noah is, you know, we talked about the Lakers and their advantage being in the front court with their size and length and shot-blocking ability and rebounding ability. The Clippers are kind of the inverse of that. The Clippers' talent clearly at the high end starts on the wing with Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. Then they have good backcourt talent and depth as well with Patrick Beverley, Montrezl Harrell, Landry Shamet. But they are a little small and a little light on the front line. They have Ivica Zubac, the young Croatian big who's played well in a backup role and in a starting role. And then Montrezl Harrell comes and backs him up off the bench. But, you know, those guys are a little small. Harrell in particular struggles against certain matchups, John. So I would think Lawrence Frank and the Clippers front office looked at their likely playoff opponents, especially the Lakers and potentially a team like the Denver Nuggets with Nikola Jokic as well, and said, all right, who's the best big we can get? Who's the most experienced guy available who can play center, who's been through the battles in playoff series? And that's, I think, a big reason why they signed Joakim Noah.
Hey, Ryan, I've had some people on the last couple of weeks trying to convince me that they think Houston can make a run. And I know their general manager, you probably know pretty well, Daryl Morey. He feels they can make a run. I'm just not convinced a team that starts no player taller than 6'6 and shoots nothing but three-pointers, I just can't buy in. Even though they got Westbrook and they got Harden, I just can't believe they could beat some of the upper echelon teams, the best four out of seven, by shooting threes.
I'm not as concerned about the three-point shooting, John, although I understand your point. I'm not as concerned about that, given that that's what they do and how they play. They play the analytical game with shooters spotted up in the corners and on the wing. I'm actually more concerned, as I look at Houston, with the rebounding or lack thereof and the rim protection. John, they played 17 games without a center, you know, without Clint Capella or traditional big. They were out-rebounded. Houston Rockets were out-rebounded in 16 of those 17 games. So I think if I'm Mike D'Antoni and Daryl Morey in Houston, what I'm worried about is playing a big physical team, again, like the Lakers in the Western Conference, who, you know, they shoot it, they miss, they shoot it, they miss, they get it back and put it in. And you know, physically, I don't know if Houston can stop that in a playoff series. I'm not as high on the Rockets because of what you mentioned, the shooting. I think when they're in rhythm and Harden and Westbrook are getting downhill, getting to the basket and finding shooters, it looks pretty good. But I think the team's in a more reliant on outside shooting, John, will struggle a bit, especially early in the Orlando bubble, due to this unprecedented layoff we've had due to the pandemic over the past few months.
Yeah, we're visiting with Ryan McDonough, Radio.com, NBA insider, nice enough to join us today on 97.3 The Fan. Now, I'll tell you a team that I was pretty impressed with just before everything got shut down. First of all, I think Nick Nurse has done a great job in Toronto considering he lost Kawhi Leonard and, you know, he lost a couple of other pieces, but he's done a good job. But I'll tell you the team that was really starting to come on and I really liked the way they were playing is the Boston Celtics.
A lot of young talent there. They have two young studs on the wing in Jason Tatum, who's going to be a superstar, and Jaylen Brown, who may be as well. So they have good talent. They have good depth, another perimeter-heavy team. I think the questions with Boston are at center. They lost Al Horford and Aaron Baines off of last year's team. They did add Enes Kanter, and Daniel Tice has played well in a backup role. So I like Houston as well, John. I think, you know, that's they're in the grouping of teams. I like Toronto slightly better than the Celtics, given that the Raptors were the second-best team in the Eastern Conference and have the second-best defense in the league, trailing only the Milwaukee Bucks. But I'd also keep an eye on Boston. I think one of those two teams has a great opportunity to get to the conference finals and then maybe surprise Milwaukee and end up playing in the finals for an NBA championship.
You know, Ryan, last week I was watching the $1 million winner-take-all tournament. I know they got the quarterfinals today, and I was watching the games. You know, nothing else was on. I watched a little bit of the games and, you know, some decent players and, you know, a lot of fun and, you know, listening to the commentators and all that good stuff. And then one of the teams that actually won, they were supposed to move on to the quarterfinals. Well, they had, I think, two players test positive for the coronavirus, and so their entire team was eliminated. Could you imagine that happening with the NBA down there in the bubble? If something happened with the Lakers or the Clippers or Giannis went down, it'd be, I think people would kind of throw their arms up and said, man, we ought to shut this thing down.
That is the doomsday scenario, John, and one that the league is concerned about. Adam Silver spoke about it publicly, for the first time this week, at least the first time I heard the commissioner, Adam Silver, speak about it publicly. And that brings me to Anthony Tolliver. John, I thought, had a really good idea that the power forward, the veteran who's bounced around, he's currently with the Memphis Grizzlies. Anthony Tolliver is the secretary treasurer of the Players Association. And his idea, John, was to bring a pool of free agent players to the bubble, have them get tested. Once they test negative for COVID-19, they're able to practice and work out and basically be ready to be integrated on the fly if a team or multiple teams have injuries, which will happen, and positive COVID-19 tests, which obviously we hope won't happen, but I think there's a good chance that they will. So I thought that was a really good idea, John, and one that I think if you're Adam Silver in the league office, you have to seriously think about, you know, having players there in the bubble who are ready to go in case a team does get depleted and needs somebody right away.
Well, I think that's a great idea by Anthony Tolliver. Hey, Ryan, appreciate the time. One last question. And I mentioned, you know, you got a great scouting background. You've been a general manager, and you've had to pull the trigger on first-round draft picks. You know, the draft has been pushed off now. A lot of the pre-draft camps that we normally see have not happened. How difficult is it going to be for teams to be able to go through the draft process, get to draft night, and know that they're picking the right guy?
It's going to be really difficult unless something substantial changes over the next few months, John, which I don't anticipate, obviously, like a vaccine. But I think given that seems very unlikely, teams are going to have less information about these players than, you know, they've had, I think, at any time in the past. I was in NBA front offices from 2003 to 2018, and there was never a scenario in which we didn't have the college conference tournaments or the NCAA tournament or the postseason workouts where players could work out at the combine in Chicago or fly in to NBA markets and work out for teams. That was available to us every year I was in the league, John, for 15-plus years. Now it's gone. So teams don't have any of that. There are no workouts. There are no face-to-face interviews. The teams I talk to are really trying to utilize Zoom or Skype and interview guys online, but that's about all they can do, John, which I think makes the information gathering process really difficult in this scenario.
Hey, by the way, as I let you get out of here, I've never met you in person, but from afar, I got to tell you, I thought you did a great job as the GM of the Phoenix Suns. You inherited an absolute mess over there, and I thought did a really nice job of getting them back on track.
Well, I appreciate it, John. You know, we've made some good decisions, made some bad ones like most do, but I think we left the team in better shape than we found it, and I'm hoping that guys like Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton and Mikal Bridges, some of the young talent on the roster, will be, continue to blossom and develop and will be fun for Suns fans to watch over the next 5 or 10 years.
Hey, Ryan, you and the family, be safe and stay cool, and we'll look forward to doing this again. Thanks so much for the time.
Anytime, John. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, there you go. That was Radio.com Sports NBA Insider Ryan McDonough. Insider calls are brought to you by Dell Technologies, small business Podference podcast series, available on Radio.com/Dell. And oh, by the way, you can also hear Ryan on Scal and Pals, available on Radio.com and wherever you find your podcast. Great basketball talk with everyone you need to hear on the NBA. How about Brian Scalabrini, the former NBA player, had a great career up there at USC, Kendrick Perkins, and many more. Just search SCAL. Good stuff out of Ryan McDonough. That was a lot of fun. Hope you enjoyed that. You know, we have Kurt Heelan on from NBC. We have Bill Ryder on from CBS. And those guys are unbelievable. And then we add a guy like Ryan McDonough. Think about it. We got three unbelievable NBA guys that show up on my show on a regular basis. And we're going to get Ryan on more and more. And, boy, he was fantastic. And, again, as I mentioned earlier, he is the son of the late, great Will McDonough and the brother of a beautiful broadcaster, Sean McDonough. So good stuff on that. Hey, we're going to move Bench the Coach to after the top of the hour. So if you want to be a part of Bench the Coach, so we're running out of time. We're getting close to the top of the hour. If you'd like to be a part of Bench the Coach, we're going to give you an opportunity. I think a lot of you out there on a Friday, you're a little concerned. You're not going to be able to tee it up and, be able to take me down. But we're going to have trivia coming up after the top of the hour. Bench the Coach, again, a limited edition 97.3 The Fan t-shirt. Our phone number, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. I'm still waiting. I had one phone caller, Mark, in San Marcos, and I had Eric in L.A., and I had George in New York. I'm still waiting for a coach, an administrator of a school district here in San Diego to give me a call. What is your school going to do? Are you going to virtual learn? Or are you going to bring the kids back on campus, or don't you know right now? I'd love to hear from you today. And I would like to hear from parents in the San Diego City area, the East County, the South Bay, North County. Love to hear from you. Give me your take on exactly what your school districts are telling you right now. And again, for you high school sports fans, and I know Twitter's been really hot the last couple of nights. Everybody's working and trying to find out what's going on. Well, Joe Hines, the commissioner here in San Diego, on my program a few weeks ago said that right now, full steam ahead, but they're going to reevaluate it on July 20th. And we're sitting at July 10th right now. We've seen New Mexico yesterday wipe out all of their fall sports. I mean, they shut down football. They shut down soccer. They shut down everything. The other fall sports may come back at some point in time, but football and soccer, because of the contact, no go right now in New Mexico. We've already seen what's going on in the college ranks. We saw what happened yesterday here in the state of California. All community college sports for the fall will move to the second semester in January. But I'm looking for some phone calls in the final hour of the program. The 2 o'clock hour is normally very, very good for phone calls, but I want to hear from you in the 2 o'clock hour. I need some help on this. I mentioned at the very beginning of the program, I've got three grandchildren, two that are already in elementary school, a sixth grader, a second grader. I've got another one that is starting kindergarten here in a few weeks. And I don't want them to virtual learn. I want them to be back on campus, and hopefully it's safe for them to be back on campus. But what is going on in your school district? Because I'm telling you right now, if you can't get the kids on campus, how the hell can you have a football season or a girls' volleyball season or run cross country? I mean, there's no way. There's no way that sports will be played unless student athletes can be on campus and go to school. And I would say that for the college ranks as well. I mean, we're talking about what the Big Ten is trying to do. They want to play just conference games. Well, I'm not even buying they're going to play conference games if the kids can't be on school taking classes. They're not. When are they going to come on campus? Just for practice? Well, that's not right. The kids have to be back on campus if you're going to have a fall sports program the way I see it. But I'd love to hear from you on that. And, again, we're going to get to Bench the Coach right after the top of the hour. We'll take your phone calls. You want to be a contestant on Bench the Coach, our phone number, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Reminder, we're going to finish off our AL West preview today. Great guest, Jessamyn McIntyre, who works for 710 ESPN Seattle. She'll be joining me. But phone calls and Bench the Coach next, right here with Coach John Katera as we kick off hour number 3 on San Diego's 97.3 The Fan.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.